Who is Jesus? He is the Word made flesh. We read in the Word of God, John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Perhaps when you were little, you heard Sunday school stories about Jesus. But I want to ask you, do you know him now? Do you know him as a person? Do you know him as the only Savior? Do you know him as your Lord, your Master, your ruler? Do you know him as your friend? The four gospel writers set forth Jesus, each from a particular viewpoint. The gospel writer Matthew portrays the Lord Jesus as the son of David, the long-promised King of the Jews. Mark pictures Jesus as the servant of Jehovah, bringing out the wonderful characteristics of his service. Luke sets forth the humanity of Jesus. He is the perfect man. And finally, John treats Jesus as the heavenly one who came down from heaven and dwelt among us and unveils his divine glory. I would like you to follow along with me in John's gospel so that we can know Jesus. John's purpose and theme is to show that Jesus is God, the divine second person of the Trinity. That this is John's purpose is clearly written towards the ends of John's gospel. We read in John 20, verse 31, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Jesus is the Word. John does not begin his gospel with the details of Jesus' birth. Rather, he starts with Jesus dwelling with God before time began or the earth was formed. We read in John 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the Bible, there are several beginnings. There is the beginning of the world. There is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is the beginning of Jesus' sorrows, and there is the beginning of Jesus' miracles. Here, it is the beginning before creation, before the beginning of time. We read in Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Jesus was there, and he was with God. That means he was in the presence of God, and it means, secondly, that he has a separate personality. He is the second person of the Trinity. He always existed. He was not created. And then we read, "And the Word was God." He is called the Word because he reveals God. Jesus communicates, he speaks, and he spoke, and all things were made by him. Some people think that God cannot be known. They are called agnostics, which means do not know. But we can know God, and we can know his Son, Jesus Christ. God reveals, God makes himself known. He does so in creation. He does so in the scriptures, the written word. And more importantly, he does it in his Son, Jesus, the incarnate word. Jesus is made flesh. In John 1 verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The plain meaning of those words is that the second person of the Trinity, who always existed, now took on himself our human nature. He who is God now also became a man. There's a big word for that, and it's called incarnation. It means the infleshing. Jesus did not stop being God, but now he is also a real, sinless, perfect man. Luke's gospel tells us of his miraculous birth from a virgin. Jesus had no earthly father because God was his father. We have this great mystery that we celebrate every Christmas. As we read in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. Why would God want to do this? Why would he want to become a human being? Why would he leave the glory and the beauty of heaven to come down into our world, which is filled with sickness and pain and suffering and death? God's word states, and he dwelt among us. That word dwelt can be translated tabernacle. In the Old Testament, as the people Israel traveled through the wilderness, they lived in tents. And in the center of their tents was another tent, the tabernacle of God. It was God's dwelling place. As a tent, it's only temporary. Something suited to be moved about during the travels to Canaan. It was the place where God met with his people and spoke to them. It was the place of worship where sacrifices were made. So when we read, the Word was made flesh, God comes down to visit us in Jesus. God comes to dwell with us and live in closest fellowship with us. Let me ask you, are you lonely? Do you have times when you wish there was someone you could unburden to? Jesus, God's Son, dwells with us. For 33 years, he dwelt with us in his flesh. But now that Jesus is risen from the dead, he is physically in heaven. But you know what? He is still with us by his word and spirit. That means you and I can talk to him in prayer. He is God with us. The name for Jesus, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus cares. Jesus will never forsake his people. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities so that he can be our sympathetic high priest in heaven. The name Emmanuel refers to the fact that Jesus is God and man in one person. In Jesus, God is with us in the closest possible way. Jesus was born into this world. He lived and died here. He is one with us. He came down from heaven to dwell with us in our sinful condition. He came down from heaven to stand in our place, to take our sins upon himself. He came to suffer and die so that we might live and have fellowship with God. Jesus arose from the dead and he ascended into heaven so that he gives us his eternal life. The Apostle John continues to write in John 1 verse 14, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, it was a veiled glory. That is, when one looked at Jesus, what did they see? Did not the shepherds visiting the baby Jesus see a little infant born to poor Jews in a cow stable? They didn't see a king in a royal mansion or when the wise men worshipped a little infant in the house of Bethlehem. Others saw a man raised in Nazareth by a carpenter, and they asked, "Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Later on, Jesus is spit upon. He's flogged. He's nailed to a cross. Oh, was he not a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53? At best, one could see a real, sinless man who could become tired and thirsty, one who could do miracles and teach as one who had authority. But that's the physical eyes. With the eyes of faith, we see far more than merely a good man. We see God. Did not Jesus say in John 14, verse 9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father"? God, who so loved us, sent his only begotten Son into this world. We see then, first of all, his divine power, so that the blind are able to see, the deaf are able to hear, the sick are healed, and the dead raised to life. Why, even the wind and the waves obey him. We see, second of all, Jesus' love, as he had compassion on the multitudes that were like sheep without a shepherd. By the work of the Holy Spirit and by faith, we even see glory in the shameful death on the cross. We sing, "In the cross of Christ I glory." The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is full of grace and truth. Only because he is God, and only because he willingly also became man, can he be our Savior. Only because he is God can he be worshipped. Only as God can he be the one who is always present for us, who helps, rules, saves, and can be a constant friend. If Jesus is not God, well, then he's only a historical figure of the past. Sadly, today there are many who only see Jesus as a historical figure, a man. Others believe that Jesus is God, but not really a man, only the appearance of a man. But I tell you, only as God, and one who is truly one of us, a man, could Jesus come to take away our sins and save us. By faith, may you and I behold Jesus, God made flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. Oh, may we know him whom to know is life eternal. May we, by God's grace, love Jesus, flee to Jesus, trust Jesus as our only helper and Savior.